This is the first time I came to Seattle inside, how lovely this space is. I feel very much honored to have the opportunity to visit this beautiful meditation center and to share Dharma with all of you. As you know that and there's a wonderful integration between science, Buddhism, psychology, especially neuroscience is happening right now. Many of the founding teachers of the Insight Meditation Society are very much responsible of such integration. This integration is not something to be afraid of, but to be welcomed. This integration is creating bridge between the modern society and the contemplative tradition, especially the Buddhist path. As you know that the modern neuroscientists discovered that human brain structure is not static. It's always changing. It's flexible. It's not like rock. Not only that, we have the personal choice to change and reshape our own brain structure. They discovered that our brain is completely adaptable. Somehow this idea of the changeable nature of human brain correspond to this teaching, this practice that is very popular in Tibetan tradition, the Lobjong, literally means mind training. The whole premises of a mind training is that human mind can be trained, can be changed. This particular teaching was brought by very famous Indian master Adisha to Tibet. When I sat here tonight, I really didn't have any topic to talk about. Usually I try to fill the place and read everybody's energy. And somehow I felt that Lobjong would be a very good topic to talk about, except Lobjong is a very vast teaching and that can take many years to study and to practice. So I will attempt my best trying to introduce at least the essence of the Lobjong. There are many amazing individuals in Tibetan tradition who are truly remarkable bodhisattvas, such as Gyatso Tomo Zambo, Zapa Rinpoche. They are regarded as the saints as well as Mahasiddhas, and they embody the true spirit of the Lobjong teachings. They also wrote many verses, poems, and teachings on the Lobjong. When you have a chance to read the life of some of these great masters, which I mentioned, Gyatso Tomo Zambo and Zapa Rinpoche, they will totally inspire you. you will find that there are extraordinary human beings who developed noble characters like forgiveness, compassion, courage. And Lobjong has a whole series of methods that you can practice everyday life. But before we start practicing Lobjong, what we need to learn is how to quiet our own mind. We really can't do anything with our mind unless we know how to quiet our mind. Whatever practice you are trying to engage with, including Lobjong, there's a foundation that we have to work on. That foundation is the shamatha, which is all about quieting your own mind. Personally, I have been doing all kinds of Buddhist practices, and my friend Steve gave a very nice introduction of my background. He said to everybody that I've been trained in the Nyingma lineage, which is true. I have been practicing literally all kinds of Buddhist practices. And yet, to me, they don't work until I learn how to quiet my own mind. And there is particular meditation known as shamatha, which is not only a Theravada Zen or Tibetan Buddhist Zen or Mahayana Buddhist Zen. The shamatha is a practice as the foundation, the spiritual foundation in all those three great traditions in the Buddhism. And shamatha is a way to quiet our own mind. Shantideva said, our human mind is like the crazed elephant. He said that human mind is very dangerous, very destructive. Sometimes we don't recognize our conditioned mind is very destructive. It can be very destructive to oneself, and it can be very destructive to other people. Especially when you start meditating, you realize that how destructive, how dangerous our human mind can be. Whereas if you don't meditate, then you may not have any kind of clue, any kind of notion that how our habitual and the conditioned mind, how destructive it is, how dangerous it is. And that is a state of being unconscious. There is this collective unconscious in this world. I'm not speaking from point of view of psychology. This collective unconscious is a state in which that many people don't realize how destructive our human mind can be. That's why there's a lot of violence, unhappiness in this world. A few days ago, I was driving with some people in this very beautiful neighborhood, Marin County in San Francisco Bay Area. The land is utterly beautiful. And then we parked the car in front of somebody else without knowing that we're not supposed to park the car. And finally, somebody came out of his house. He was extremely angry. He started yelling at us. And I thought, that person needs a little bit of meditation. Perhaps he's not aware of what he's doing. I'm sure he thought that he has every reason to be outraged, to be angry at us. I was trying to be very peaceful and trying to calm everybody's mind. Somehow my method didn't work out. And we had to leave immediately in a hurry. We tried to be really nice towards him. I think maybe I even joined my hands together and trying to extend peace and friendship with him, which really didn't work out. He didn't buy that whole strategy. But it was a really beautiful teaching for me. And I didn't take his aggression personally. I didn't get offended. I knew better not to be offended, but I noticed that he wasn't just the person. He's actually just acting from the state of consciousness that most people are abiding in this world. Perhaps billions and billions of people are abiding in that state of consciousness, which is ruled by our old tendencies, aggression, violence. He's basically reacting in that very moment from mistrust, from anger. And this is the collective unconscious, the collective unawareness that many people are living every day, and they are actually acting from it. We don't even realize that until we start meditating. We don't realize that how unruly, how unsettling our mind is most of the time. This is why Shantideva used this quite shocking analogy, the crazed elephant. Zen Buddhist said that human mind is like mischievous monkey. But I think Shantideva's analogy is more accurate, because mischievous monkey is not so dangerous. A mischievous monkey does things that is a bit mischievous, make you laugh, but he's not so dangerous. Can you imagine the crazed elephant running around? You don't want to be close to the crazed elephant. This is actually a very powerful and shocking analogy to describe human mind. Would you be comfortable to hang around literally a crazed elephant? Do you mind, do you feel really safe to live in the same house with a crazed elephant? Do you feel very comfortable to walk together with a crazed elephant in a very narrow path where you cannot run away? You know, crazed elephant is extremely dangerous. Not only that, it's very powerful. The crazed elephant is way more powerful than you. You cannot fight back him. You cannot wrestle with him. He can step you. He can destroy you. He can walk all over you, because he's way more powerful than you. The truth is that we are living with a crazed elephant in some way or another. Our conditioned mind, our unconscious mind, it's like that. So before we engage with any kind of spiritual practice, the first step is to learn how to quiet our own mind. We can learn how to quiet our mind by practicing the art of concentration. We can practice concentration, by learning, paying attention to our own breath, or our bodily sensations, sound, mantra, image. This evening, we began the session by paying attention to our own breath. And perhaps many of you felt immediately that there is a peace inside you. There is a peace always in each of us. Not only that, that peace is the depth of your being, depth of your mind. In the Nyingma lineage, we say that our human mind is like the great sea. Even though sometimes there might be turbulences on the surface of the great sea, yet the depth of the great sea is always peaceful. In the same way, the surface of your mind can be filled with a lot of storms, wild turbulences, unwholesome thoughts, powerful emotions like anger, anxiety. But the depth of your mind is always peaceful. This is why we say in my tradition again and again that the Buddha mind is already in each of us. The Buddha mind is already at the depth of your mind, even in this very moment. You may not recognize it in this moment, yet it's always inside you in each and every moment. It takes sometimes long time to learn how to quiet your own mind. It looks like that many of you are well-seasoned meditators. If you are a new meditator, if you are very beginner, then I'm going to remind you that this is not like a common to see movie. If you are coming to see a movie, then you can watch that movie. And once you finish that movie, you don't have to see that again. This is simply a beginning of a long journey. This is an invitation. This is an invitation, each of you, to start developing a new habit in your life, a habit of meditating, habit of learning how to quiet your mind. And you may have to work and learn how to quiet your mind not only next few years, but even maybe all the way to the end of your life. Once your mind becomes quieter, and then you can engage with practices such as the Lobjong, the mind training, which I was planning to talk about. Lobjong has all these points that you can work with, and sometimes it comes with a phrase that you can memorize. In my tradition, sometimes you have to memorize the whole texture. For example, we had to memorize this beautiful text on the Lobjong, known as the 37 points of Bodhisattva's training, which has 37 verses. We had to memorize it. That wasn't very hard. We were even encouraged to memorize the whole book, known as The Way of Bodhisattva, composed by Shantideva, that has maybe 60 or 70 pages. When you memorize at least the shorter version of the Lobjong teachings, then you can meditate on each verse and then trying to apply each verse in everyday life. And then sometimes you are encouraged to recite those verses once or three times or seven times every day. These verses are very beautiful. One of the verses is, don't blame your problems onto anybody else. Take all the blames onto yourself. This is just one verse. This is just one point taught in the Lojong, the mind training. There are many other points that you can memorize, but this is a very beautiful perspective. This is all about not to take anything personally. Usually we are taking everything personally. If you are driving a car tonight, you may run into car accidents, and perhaps you may get a flat tire, or you may be having some kind of difficulty issue right now in your life. Usually we all take everything personally. When we take things personally, then we tend to be very angry, or we tend to be extremely unhappy. Whereas if you don't take anything personally, then there's always peace in each of us. It's hard not to take problems personally. We have this deep-seated tendency to take everything personally, especially all the unfavorable circumstances like illness, tragedy. There are certain things maybe you don't take too personally. If an earthquake happens, you may not take too personally because you know that it has nothing to do with you. But if an earthquake hit your house, and then you may take it personally. Actually, the root of our suffering is that we have this old tendency of taking everything personally. And we say, some terrible things happened to me in the past. I've been abused. I'm traumatized. Somebody hurt me. I'm born in the wrong family. Oh, I don't like who I am. I don't like the way I look. I don't like my body. I don't like my mind. I don't like the way things are in the world right now. Or you may have this belief that people are unkind to you, or life is mistreating you. Or you may have a lot of fears about the future. The uncertainty, not knowing what is going to happen to you, not knowing whether you're going to lose your security and your comfort and your solace. So now you see we are taking everything so personally. The moment you stop taking everything personally, then there's immediate peace. Not only that, then now you know how to surrender to everything. Surrender is the secret. It's the path to the unconditional happiness. Now you see, we have a very deep-seated habit to take everything personally. This can be changed by practicing the Lojong. The one verse is, don't blame your problems on other people, but take all the blame on yourself. I know this is not a very suitable to American psychology because we don't like to take any blame on ourselves. This can be a little bit challenging. This verse has 2 points. Maybe you can let go of the second point, which is to take all the blames on yourself. This would be very difficult for our psychology. Perhaps we can work with the first point, which is not to blame your problems onto anybody. Can you imagine how amazing this would be if you stop blaming your problems, root of all your suffering, onto somebody else, onto life, onto world, onto reality? How about if you stop completely blaming? Right now, are you blaming source of your distress, anxiety onto somebody in your life? I'm sure we all have some kind of suffering in our life that we are working with. Are you having some kind of anxiety, distress in your life right now, or you are totally happy? If you are totally happy, then I would say congratulations, and I say good luck. I hope your unconditional happiness will remain a long time with you. But are you having a little bit of stress, anxiety, or some kind of discomfort in your life? Is there something in your life that is irritating you, that is challenging you right now? Didn't Buddha say in the Dharmapada, those who constantly think he abused me, he beat me, he struck me, would never find happiness? So you might like to memorize this beautiful point of the Lojong as a phrase. Sometimes I used to tell people to write some of this phrase on their wall. They can look at that phrase as a reminder. Tonight I'm going to offer this phrase. I will ask everybody to memorize this one phrase. This is from the Lojong teachings. don't blame your problems onto others. Perhaps you can recite this 3 times a day for the next few weeks. See how it works. Or maybe you can be very mindful and to catch every moment when you start falling back to the old habit, the old default mode, which is blaming the root of all your anxiety, all your distress onto others or onto external circumstances. And catch that moment when you are reacting from your old habit, and then remember to recite this phrase. You can recite this phrase in silence, but if you really want to have a powerful impact, then you might like to recite this phrase loud as much you can. That can be very effective. You know, sometimes you might like to get up at night, like 1 o'clock in the morning, and run to the mountain and just look into the universe, join your hands together and say this phrase out loud as much as you can. Don't blame root of all my problems onto others. And then you'll experience amazing surrender right there. Sometimes I ride bicycle, mountain bike, not so much lately. I used to ride my mountain bicycle to this top of mountain in East Bay. It's called the Trilden Park. When you sit on top of the mountain, you can have this amazing panoramic view of the entire bay. You can see the city of San Francisco, Golden Gate Bridge. You see everywhere. And I used to take long rest there once I reach that top of the mountain. And I used to sit there and recite the Heart Sutta, and sometimes I recite these beautiful teachings and verses very loud as much as I can. And I look around and to make sure that nobody is around me. Otherwise, people may think that I'm losing my mind. I make sure that I look around and nobody is around me, and then I sit in the meditation posture and shout these beautiful phrases loud as much as I can. And I feel that these words, these wisdom words, these phrases, when you utter them so loudly, they become this amazing, amazing energy, like some kind of energy that goes through your body and just changes every cell in your body. Thank you everybody for coming here tonight. I will invite everybody to do a dedication prayer. Let's dedicate the blessings, the merit of the teaching, the practice we did tonight as a course to awaken all human beings from the unawareness to the unconditioned, the nirvana within. O sonam di tamche zikpanya tumne nyipi danam pamshika kirgan namche balon tukbaye sabin soli dova dolvare sho. much gratitude to all of you.